last sermon and this part two on the sermon about prayer. So last week we started the facts about prayer. So this will be part two. And let's just do, I'm not going to do what I did last week, but this whole book can be summed up, like, once again, a sermon should have a theme, and even a book can sometimes can have a theme, okay? And the book theme is the mark of a mature Christian, okay? So everything we've talked about, every sermon has went back to what a mature Christian should act like, okay? And so we've talked, I need to write them all down, but we talk about a mature Christian rejoices in trials. A mature Christian asks for wisdom. A mature Christian overcomes the sin of favoritism. You know, controls your tongue. And we're talking about all these things that we put in answer the question. Because if you're like me, what I said a long time ago was, you know, I think there's very few mature Christians. Okay? And like that, I think that when we get to heaven, I think all the things we think we've done good, I think we're going to realize that we missed it so much. We missed it. So, I mean, I think we're going to be blown away by how much we failed, really. You know, I think we look at all these things, but I think we missed so many things. And I was joking this week about lying. You know, I'm picking on my sister-in-law back there. So, and I talk about, saying things like, I forgot what it was, but like, I'll be there, I'm coming, I'm coming, and you're not coming, I'll be there in a minute, and then 10 minutes later, that's lying. And I think like that, that's why we say we've all lied. And when I was playing devil advocate and things like that, trying to push people's buttons, which I like doing. But I think it's true. I don't think we realize how much we really fail. And like that, I know what it was. I was saying, we don't really want people to be honest. How does my hair look? I give it a 5 out of 10. That's not what you want to hear, even me. If I say, how does my hair look? I don't want you to tell me the truth. I want you to lie to me. You know? So anyway, I think we really are going to fail. But anyway, that's a little bit of a side note. But I'm more than a mature Christian. You know? And it is really probably the most convicting one is prayer. So here's the thing. There's no doubt, like I said, there's no doubt the theme of this text is prayer. 7 times through verse 15 through 20. 7 times in these 8 verses does it use the word prayer. Okay? So obviously that right there tells you when you're building a sermon or reading a devotion that the theme is going to be on prayer. But like I said last week, it was kind of hard for me to figure out really what to do because it goes from praying to singing to anointing to confessing sin to Elijah praying down rain. So it's very choppy. So what I did when I told you last week, I said, what I did, I sit down, I said, it's about prayer, so what is God trying to teach me here? What is James trying to teach these people? And so what I came up with was 4 lessons about prayer. Okay, now I said, I use the same illustration. I've got anything that we know more about, we can utilize it more, right? I mean, I use the example of I've got a Bible program called Logos. And the more I know, I don't know that much about it. And I know right now, I'm not utilizing it to its full potential. Okay? The same thing with prayer. The more we know about prayer, the more we can utilize it to its full potential. Okay? And that's kind of what I'm trying to get you to understand. So the first 2 lessons last week, I gave you the instructions to prayer or of prayer. It was be consistent and be determined. And I really, I talk about the fact that are we as determined to pray? Am I determined to pray as I am to fish? You know, that's kind of what I said. Same thing for you. Are you determined are you determined in your prayer time as you are, cooking or shopping or whatever, or taking a nap? I like naps, so, like that. You gotta work in a nap, And then I said the second thing was the obstruction to prayer, and that's sin. Now, what I hinted on something that some of y'all, I can tell by your expression, you didn't really like. And I talked about, and it is very key to understanding that this person in this text is most likely sick because of sin in his life. Okay? And so, in the context I talked about last week, that when they're anointed, that I told you that the oil has no mystical power in it whatsoever. Nor is this a text for a ritualistic anointing. Okay? Like I said, anointing does nothing. And all it's going to do is encourage you. And you will have an oily head. Okay, because if you look, the power is in the prayer. Most likely, like I said, they use olive oil for medication. Okay? So what happened, the person's sick because of sin. He's been excommunicated because of church discipline. And so because he's not right with man, he's not right with God, he calls them in, most likely to do restitution. And while they're there, they administer medicine. Olive oil, remember the Good Samaritan, they put oil on him. So they wasn't a little dab of oil and probably put it all over him to help him. And that's important because, well, again, we got to make sure that there's, like I said, there's no power in oil. I mean, there's some oil back there and it's olive oil and buy it at the grocery store. Or you can buy it at the Lifeway and pay a lot more for it. Okay? And like I said, there's no power in it. It's fine. And like I said, if you're an emotional person, you want to feel encouraged, that's fine. But remember what the text is talking about. It's talking about a man who has been is sick because of sin. And I built that case last week. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So now, but the obstruction of prayer is sin. We cannot pray when we have sin in our lives. God did not hear us. But remember, it destroys your fellowship, not your relationship. We don't, well, I don't, you might. I don't, the Bible doesn't teach a repeated regeneration. We mean, if I sin, I'm going to hell. You will not save on your ability to sin less, nor are you kept by faith in your ability to sin less. When you sin as a believer, it destroys your fellowship, not your relationship. Okay? Like that. For a Baptist, like I said, get off on that a lot of time. They get down that road, and it's not right. It's not biblical. Anyway, so here's the last two facts. Number three. Number one for us tonight, today, but it's really number three in the sermon, is the product of prayer. So we see the instruction, the obstruction, now we see the product. You know, the product of prayer. And this answers the question, what happens when you pray? Let's understand, what happens when you pray? Well, letter A, prayers are heard by God. I want you to understand that. Before we go any further, I want you to know that prayers are heard by God. In the text, look in verse 15, we see here that a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven. That's my point. Like that. This person is sick most likely because of sin. And when he gets right with God, and when he prays, and God hears him, and God forgives him of his sin. So my point here is that God heard the sick man's confession of sin. Okay? Go on down with me on down in text. It says, verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passion. And we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. So what does that tell me? That tells me that one day Elijah got on a knee, and he prayed to God, and God heard him. Right? Now, we'll get to the answer part in a minute. But God heard his prayer. Well, once again, you interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. Other text, 1 John 5:17, I'll flip over there. And it says this. And this is the confidence that we have in him. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Jeremiah 29, I got it taped to you. If you're like me, I can't find them Old Testament books sometimes. Y'all like me? I can't find them. Especially in minor prophets, even the most. I had to look in the index. So, anyway. Chapter 29, verse 12 says, Then shall he call upon me, and he shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto him. Then Job 22:27 says this, Thou shalt make the prayer to him, and he shall hear thee. Here's the thing. God hears our prayer. That's the product of prayer. When you pray, the first thing I want you to understand is that God hears you. Focus on the family said this. Nothing can keep us from approaching God in prayer except our own choices. Here's the thing. When we pray, God hears us. You say, well, I know that. You're telling me something I learned in Sunday school. Well, then let me ask you this. Does your life reflect that truth? Now they're like, oh, I know God hears me. Well, then are you doing it? Do you pray as though God hears you? Are you even praying? See, We talked about it in James already. It's not enough just to know that. We've got to do that. It's not enough. Oh, it's not enough to know God can hear us. We're supposed to go and talk to Him as though He hears us. You're not talking to the wall. So quit praying like you are. You're not talking to a statue. Quit praying like you are. You're praying to a God. By the way, He don't want to hear the same thing over and over. You know, and like I think I've given illustration to know. Now, how you doing, Brother Howard? Brother Howard, you sick today, Brother Howard? Brother Howard, would you like to go out to eat, Brother Howard? You say, what are you saying? God don't want to hear you say Father 20 times either. And I'm guilty of basically public prayer. Father, forgive me, Father, thank you for this, Father, Father, Father. We don't talk to other people like that. God is a God who can hear, and He got it the first time. And He knows He's the Father. What the Bible says, vain repetition. When it goes back to the fact, how mature are we? Well, our prayer probably tells how mature we are. And He said, talk to Him, and though He hears you. And that should motivate us to pray. God can hear you. Now, part of the prayer first is that God hears you. But secondly, the second product is that prayer pleases God. We have been commanded to pray. I'm going to read a few verses here, and I'm just going to read parts of them. And it says, pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44. And when you pray, Matthew 6:5, then this is how you should pray, Matthew 6:9. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithfully in prayer, Romans 12:12. And pray in the Spirit on all occasion, with all kind of prayer and request, Ephesians 6:18. Be not anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, Philippians 4:6. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, Colossians 4:2. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I urge you then, of all that request prayer, 1 Timothy 2:1. So what's your point? We are commanded to pray. Okay, so let's think about this for a minute. If prayer is a command, then what happens when you obey commands? It pleases what? God. Think about when you are a parent, and your kids, or if you have kids, and they obey that you say. Doesn't that make you happy? Doesn't it please you? Well, the same thing is true here, is that obeying God, or obeying command, pleases God, and prayer is a command. Here's what one guy saw, exactly focus on the family. One key reason to pray is that God has commanded us to pray. If we are obedient to His will, then prayer must be a part of our lives. When we pray, we are being obedient, and obedient pleases God. That's the second part of it. When we pray, God hears us. But when we pray, we are actually pleasing God. I don't know about you, but I have a difficult time pleasing God. In my day-to-day, like things I do, I mess up all the time. But there's one thing I can do, no matter what I'm doing, there's one action that I can do that pleases God, and that's to pray. So think about it, we ought to just pray more, not when we need something. We need to pray all the time just because it pleases God. That's a command that's really not that hard to obey. Think about it. There's a lot of commands that are hard. Loving your neighbor is a hard command. Or loving your enemy, excuse me. But praying, all you got to do is just talk to God. See, that's a part of it pleases God. And that's what we need to realize when we're talking to Him. We're not just talking about getting what we want. We're actually just talking. It's pleasing Him. It's pleasing Him. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I wanted to please my parents to some degree. When I got a teenager, that might have been a little different. But by and large, I wanted my parents to be happy with me. I didn't always want to pay the price for them to be happy, but I wanted them to be happy. Even now, I want them to be happy and pleased with me. Well, once again, we want God to be happy with us. See, that's that thing. That's why I say we're not that spiritual sometimes. God, what are we motivated by? Are we motivated to please God? And we were as motivated at pleasing God if we are pleasing someone else in this world, whether it be a spouse or a mother or a child. If we were motivated to please people, or if we were motivated to please God and we ought to please people, man, we would revolutionize this church. And that's the thing, it pleases God. So here's the thing, by simply talking, we can please Him. Here's the product of prayer. God hears you. It pleases Him. But then thirdly, and it's really the one I want to hammer the most, is God answers. Okay? That's the third thing here. Letter C. Prayers are answered by God. Now, this is what we're going to get into is a little confusion. Look at verse 15. All right, here's the promise. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Well, okay, so it says here, he'll be healed. That's the ideal to save the sick. And it's talking about physical sickness, okay, not spiritual. And shall raise him up. Once again, if you study it out, and referring to a sick person getting physically better. In other words, all right, here we go. Their prayers were answered. All right. Okay, and also, according to the text, they're forgiven of their sins. Okay. Now, that's the clue to the whole passage. Okay. I've already talked about it, but that's last week we talked about this person is probably sick because, or sick because of sin. And that's going to come into play. Just hold with me, okay? However, so we have the promise. God said, if you pray in faith, then in this text, then you'll be healed. All right, so let's go on. Now, I want you to please stay with me. Now we see the problem. We see the promise, but now we have a problem. Okay? All right, here's the problem. Now, anytime you interpret the Bible, you should always, if you can, you're supposed to interpret it literally. Okay? Not figuratively. Unless it says so. Like, if it says, like, you know, God would light fire, whoa! The word light indicates that it's figurative. Well, we don't have that here. So it literally says, if you pray in faith, you will be healed. There's no exception clause. The Bible text here does not qualify the promise of healing in any way. This poses a problem. Because it's obvious that believing prayer does not always produce bodily healing. In other words, the biblical reality is that not all prayer of faith are answered. Okay? Remember, I was joking with my sister-in-law. Even Paul said three times, he said, let the thorn be removed. But what did God remove it? No. Okay? So, now we know Paul had faith. So, okay, here's the problem. James said, if you pray in faith, you will be healed. That's what it said. We can't sidestep that. Now, we have the problem that we know biblical example that this didn't happen. Even our own reality. When we pray, we don't always get the answer. You know, people who have been sick have died. And they prayed in faith. When they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. So what do we do? How do we answer this? Well, sadly, some people have reconciled this verse to say this. Well, you didn't have enough faith. Huh, you're not spiritual. Well, once again, I think Paul is pretty spiritual. Okay? So how do we answer this? Well, here's the understanding. So we got the promise, got the problem, now we got the understanding. Now let me read this and then I'll explain it to you. James' word assumes some filling in of meaning by his readers. First, he can hardly be granted a blanket promise for healing every time the procedure is followed. So by the time, what's that saying? Now he said, well, some people take this to mean, well, if you're sick, you know, I'm going to come, and we'll anoint you with oil, and we'll pray for you, and you'll be well. Well, once again, that's not the context. The context here, and this man is sick because of his sin. Number one, he had to call for them. Number two, it was not at the church, it was at his house. It was in private. First of all, it was just a certain people. Okay? So what's going on here? All right, remember that. Another guy said this. Does not imply if a person has a sufficient degree of faith, God will automatically answer the prayer. So pretty much he's saying what I just said. So here's the context. These people are sick because of sin. Their sickness led them to repent to prayer. Okay? All right? The sickness had been dealt with, therefore the sickness is gone, because in this case, the sickness was tied to sin. You understand? Because this person, in this case, this person is sick because they've sinned. And when they get together and they confess their sins, and they get the sin out of their life, God healed them. That's why it says confession. That's why when I went to that church in Michael, North Carolina, I said, do you anoint And I said, well, I think there's a little more to it than that. And I preached a sermon on Sunday night about anointing. Because what's tied with it is confession of sin. Why? Because this person is sick because of sin. Once the sin gets out of the life, the sickness goes away. And here's a good example. Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Now, he wasn't physically sick, but he was in a big mess, wasn't he? Why did God do that? God did that to get him to repent. And then what happened? 3 days later, he, I don't know if he bowed his head, but you know, he probably held his nose and he prayed. And when he repented and said, I have sinned, I acknowledge my error, then God said, okay, spit you back out. Now, that's most likely what's happening in this case. This, whoever it is sick because of sin. And when he confesses his sin and he asks God to heal him, God heals him. So, this prayer, your prayer may not be answered like this because your sickness may not be because of sin. That's it. Like that's what happens when you take something and you take it out of the Bible and you hold to it over here. You get all these bad doctrines. Well, if I just had enough faith, then you spend around your, say you're sick, and you spend 2-3 years sick, you spend, well, if I just had enough faith, if I was a better Christian, God would heal me. No! You may be sick, may have nothing to do with sin whatsoever. Therefore, you praying and holding on to this is why you can't do that. Now, does God heal? Yes. Can he heal? Yes. Does he heal? Yes. But that's why you can't hold on to this verse as a do-all or a cover-all. And this right here is not a formula for you to guarantee your wellness. This is a formula, really, for somebody who is sick because of his sin. But as we look at this, we understand something. Well, let me say, they got a little off my horse there. We must understand that this promise about being healed comes with some implied condition. In other words, you have to interpret Scripture a lot of Scripture. And other Scripture teaches us this. So let's say you're sick. Let's say you've been praying. You've got to remember that every prayer is only answered according to God's will. Let me explain. James 4:15. For that ye ought to say if the Lord will. We've already talked about that. And he shall live and do this or that. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The example of Jesus. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Matthew 26:39. See, we have to realize that if you take this one verse and you say, if I didn't have enough faith, I'd be healed. No. You have to take these and realize God hears and God does answer. But he answered according to his will. Okay, now the whole nother sermon right there. But he answered according to his will, and we have to acknowledge that. Here's the thing. This text, I want you to understand, this text isn't a magical prayer formula to get what you want. I think that's what people think. People think it's a magical formula. If I do these steps, if I call people, and I get anointing, and then I pray, then I'll be well. Woo! No. In context, it's talking about somebody who's in sin. Number two, in light of Scripture, we know that not every prayer is answered the way we want to, and answered according to God's will. And that's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. God don't want you to, if you don't try to lean to your own understanding, that's when you'll fall away from God. He said, trust. Trust. That's all he says do. He just said, we don't have to figure it out. We spend too much time trying to figure it out. I don't understand. I've told people before, I wrote a note to one lady. I was real close to her. And I told her, I don't understand. And there's nothing I can say. You can't, I wrote down somewhere, you cannot explain, don't try to explain the acts of God. And I don't try to explain the acts of God. But what we can learn, and what we need to learn, is don't feel like if you're sick, if your prayer's not being answered, don't read this verse and say, if I just had enough faith. No. That'll add to your misery. Not only will you be sick, but then you'll also feel spiritually defeated. Now, obviously, it's a good time to reflect and make sure there's no sin in your life. But that's what that has to do with. Now, here's the thing. I want to do a side note. I'll say that remember, God's ways are not man's way, and his thoughts are higher than ours. and we cannot understand it. Man, there's something that my uncle, and was a great preacher, and he got some bad medication, some he broke his blood pressure medicine, got antipsychotic medicine, and now he's not the same. I talked to him yesterday, it's been 2 years now, and it breaks my heart. Man, he was a strong man, a leader. He was a promotional, Fruitvale Baptist promotional guy for the state of Alabama. Very respected. Now sometimes he's like a child, scared and won't drive. And somebody who's given his life. I mean, there was a time when they didn't have enough money to get milk for the baby because he was in ministry. He wasn't making no money. I mean, there's somebody who's true blue, it's him. Why? I don't understand. But if I sit around trying to think about it, I'll get bitter at God. What the Bible says to do is trust. So here's the thing. God don't answer what we want him. We have to remember that. Now, here's what I want you to understand. And I kind of said this. I want to correct myself. You know, God does answer. I read this somewhere. He says yes. He says no. Or he says wait. Okay? God always answers our prayers, but he don't always answer them the way we want them to. Now, why that is? God's God. I don't know. And I'm not going to try to explain it. Because if I do that, I'll just do an injustice. But what we can do is go to the Bible. What the Bible says? The Bible says trust. The Bible says trust. And if we'll do that, then that's the key. So here's the product of prayer. Number one, God hears us. It pleases God. And number three, God does answer. We see the product of prayer, but now let's look at the purpose of prayer. And that's the last thing we'll be doing. The product of prayer. Look at verse 17. And it says here, Elijah was a man subject to like passions. And we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. Brethren, if any of you do not err from the truth, and want to convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from error of his way shall save the soul from death, and shall hide the multitude of sin. Alright, so first thing, the purpose of prayer is seen in Elijah's prayer. Okay, now, here's the obvious lesson. Prayer is powerful. Okay? It says there, in verse, I think, 16, it says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. That's the ideal that you can get a lot accomplished. Elijah was a man who was able to pray fire, make fire come down. He was able to pray for rain. Prayers of a powerful person, or a prayer is powerful when one lives right. A righteous man, okay? And I'm kind of hurrying because it's not what I'm going to talk about. But I want you to see the obvious lesson here. Prayer becomes powerful when we are persistent, fervent. And yet, if you look into Elijah in 2 Samuel, you'll see that Elijah prayed 7 times for rain. He was persistent, okay? So there's some lessons there. Prayer is powerful if we're persistent and we live right. But here's the question, all right? Prayer, when it is done right, is a very, very powerful thing, okay? Now, and here's my question, and I read this and thought, what are we supposed to use that for? What's the purpose of having something so powerful? Well, I thought about this, and I'm going to read it. What did Elijah use his powerful prayer to do? And I wrote down, he stopped rain, he prayed down fire, he prayed down rain. Why did Elijah do these things? Here's the answer. To get them to believe in the true God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 says this, and Elijah came up to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, and fail, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Once again, remember, in between the 6 years of rain. You know, he said, let's challenge our God. And he said, you pray, and they cut themselves. And I always like that story as a kid. Oh, your God must be asleep. Call a little louder. Maybe he's on a vacation. And he's making light of them. And then they do all that. He pulls all that water. Remember, they're in a drought. He pulls all that water. And he prays. And fire comes down. What did he do that? And say, ha ha, you're wrong. Kinda, but not with that attitude. And it says here, he did this, he prayed all these things to get them to spiritually awaken and realize that they were wrong. And that God was who they needed to follow. Here's the thing, my application here. prayer needs to be focused on spiritual growth of ourselves and for others. Now, it's not wrong to pray for your problem. I mean, if you read Psalms, David prayed for a lot of his physical problems. Paul prayed for them too. But you know what I bet you? If we could say, hey, David, hey, Paul, let's pray. I bet you 95% of the time, it'd be focused on spiritual needs and not physical. Maybe the reason we're not experiencing revival is that we've become a hospital, a physical hospital. And all we do is just pray for the sick, pray for the physically ill. Now, it has its place. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Paul definitely told us that. But I mean, like that, even on Wednesday night, and I said this on the one Wednesday night. And we took up 50 prayer requests. One or two of them were spiritual, and 48 were physical. I think that says something right there. Really, we don't have a Bible, we're not praying for anything. Now, shall we pray? Yes. But we need to quit praying for all the physical thing, and we need to pray for the spiritual thing. The reason it rained for 6 years was to get them to understand that they were not where they need to be spiritually. We have a powerful tool, but are we using it for what really needs to be? I mean, let's go on down. Now, I'm not really going to go into these verses, but 18 and 19, we see James' conclusion, or 19 and 20. I'm going to read a few quotes. One of them said this about these verses. While James did not specifically name prayer in these verses, the implication is there. If we pray for the afflicted and the sick, surely we should pray for the brother who wanders from the truth. Now, I am not going to have time, because I knew I wouldn't. But this text is not about salvation, but a believer who is backslidden. And James said you need to be concerned about the spiritual state of people. Okay? So both examples here, Elijah's prayer and James' conclusion said this. Spiritual. Hey, pray for spiritual things. When you help somebody, no, it's good to help them fix a flat tire, but make sure you help them spiritually. He said, Galatians said, if you are spiritual, those who restore somebody spiritually, that who is spiritual. See, church, I think we need to have a wake-up call. I need to have a wake-up call. How much time do we really spend with something that we have, a very powerful tool, that we spend on the spiritual needs of ourselves and the spiritual needs of other people? And what's sad, we might know somebody unsaved. If they go in the hospital, we'll pray for them for a week in the hospital, but we'll never pray for their soul. That's a problem. Now, once again, there's nothing wrong with praying for physical things, but we need to make sure that we get the priorities right, in the right order. See, some things are not wrong, they're wrong when you put them in the wrong order, you know? There's nothing wrong with having a hobby, it's wrong when they take place of God. There's nothing wrong with praying for physical things, but we need to make sure that spiritual is at the top. We need to make sure that, you know, we need to realize that what he's saying here, that we need to be praying about on the lesson here, the spiritual lesson, that we need to pray for spiritual things. Hey, I can only speak for myself. But I tend to be focused on the physical only. Let's say I'm going to say it like that. I mean, you know, I tend to pray. I mean, I pray for some of y'all. I mean, I pray for some of you. You know? But I have a tendency not to pray for my uncle who's not saved. I have a tendency not to pray for even my own spiritual well-being. I pray that I build, you know, that God will give me strength to build a sermon and that clarity, but I forget that I need to pray that I just grow as a person, spiritual person. How much time are we really spending, you know, on the spiritual? I think that our prayer life could be energized if we pray about what God was really concerned about, and that is the spiritual well-being. See, that's the thing. That's why your prayer has not been answered sometimes. And that we're praying for the wrong thing. When you start praying for things that God's concerned about, your prayers will get answered. That's the thing. We need to realize that. And it's a spiritual thing that God is concerned. He's concerned about the physical, don't get me wrong. But I think we need to realize that we need to make sure that we focus on the spiritual as well. Here's the thing, in conclusion, I had it wrote down, but now I don't know if I can, the two were the product of prayer. And I forgot the next one because I've already, my mind went blank. And the purpose of prayer. Them two things what we've learned today. Overall, we've learned the instruction of prayer and the obstruction. And I don't know about you, but I've been clued at the, after we get someone to play the piano, let me just simply ask you, how's your prayer life? I mean, are you, number one, are you praying? Are you praying? Number two, what are you praying about? Now, please don't get me wrong. I want you to pray for physical things. Please don't get me wrong. I mean, the Bible is a lot of that. My point, though, at least in my life, and I tend to pray for my physical problem and the physical problems of other people a lot more than I pray for the spiritual. Okay, so please understand what I'm saying. But if that's you, hey, maybe you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe you need to ask God to help you. And hey, and please, please do not think that these verses here are a magical formula to get what you want. In the context, I think I've explained it. In the context, that's not what it is. But here's a lesson. God does answer prayers. And God will hear your prayer. Let's pray like that will happen. Let's stand to our feet. And every head bowed. And every eye closed. If you are like me, maybe God spoke to your heart. If he did, if you want to, I know you praise your seat, that's fine. But if you want to come down here, I want to invite you to come on. If you think I need to pray at the altar, I would invite you to do that right now.